Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're well aware of the fact that when Jesus came into the room, the doors being shut, actually he caused consternation. They did not know him, but they got to know him. And when they became aware of his presence by identification, they were glad and did something to their lives. Lord, we believe the same thing is happening in this hour, that the very fact that the prophet said he is here brought either a sense of misunderstanding, that they just thought he believed that and was setting you forth, Lord, in a little better light. And then others recognized, did not know what to do about it, but Lord, we believe that in your purpose you'll unfold and show us that the things of God, the things of yourself, and we may not only know the hour in which you live, but the things of the Lord and be one with you. We trust that to be so because you said in this end time, prophet confirming it, that we would come to that place of one with you, know that you're in the Father and we in you, and all of us within with each other. And we want that to be our anchoring rock today, Lord, our full assurance. We are not looking for anything else but what is ours at this point. So we commend ourselves to you in all ways and all things, especially in the study of the Word. And we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You know, usually in setting forth the church government, the deacons and elders are supposed to look toward heaven, and the trustees are supposed to look around and down. But this morning I want to give the honor reverse that. I want the trustees to look up. Why are those tiles up there stained with water? And there shouldn't be any water coming in there. So get a chair and splatter or something. Find out what's doing it, because if we don't find out, we're liable to have something not necessarily cave in, but pretty expensive to replace those tiles. So deacons look down, morning and trustees look up. All right. That took care of that situation. Don't forget the songbooks. We're collecting a little money for them, so you want to bring your songbook money in, buy somebody else's. That's good. They're about $5.50 a piece because we're paying for those big ones at about $13.50 a piece. If you want to buy a book for yourself, that's fine. You pay for that extra $5.50. Now, I want to go to Revelation again, and we're not going to get too far into the message in the sense of a continuity on the day of the husband, the legal owner, the day of the Lord, the day of the judge, which Brother Branham saw. He showed that this was the judge, but let's just look at it again, beginning in Revelation chapter 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, that verse 1, which God gave to him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his messenger unto his servant John. Now that's kind of involved there. I don't know that I know the Greek. I don't know that I know the chronology. I don't know that I know anything, but it sounds exactly like the revelation of Jesus Christ, and that revelation, whatever it is, was given by God unto Jesus the Christ in order to show unto his servants things would shortly come to pass, and he got it to John by way of a messenger. Well, that's all I know about. The messenger turned out to be a prophet. So the prophet was speaking to John, and he was giving him something that God gave Jesus to pass on. I don't know. Sounds a little involved, but that's what it looks like. Now, I don't care how it came in the sense of a chronology, how it was passed on. I'm interested in knowing what lies there. Okay, here we're getting to what lies there. It says, who bear record of the Word of God, of the testimony of Jesus, who is the Christ, of course, and all the things that he saw. So, you've got three things there. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy. So, whether you read it, someone reads it to you, you read it yourself, you're going to have a blessing. And keep these things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. How are you going to keep some of the things which are purely revelation? You don't keep them, except in your mind. You keep them in your heart. Mary kept all these things in her heart. The women kept things in their heart concerning what God said of that blessed one coming down the line. The prophets didn't keep it in their heart. It was in their hearts, and they preached it out. Okay, keep these things. In other words, don't let them slip. Don't disregard them. Don't put them on the shelf. Keep vital. Keep vital with this book at the time it comes into view, because remember, it's sealed. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and is to come. All right, who is that? That's God. That's Elohim. Which was, and which is to come. In other words, showing you that there never was a beginning, there never will be an ending. Then it says, and from Jesus, who is the Christ. Now, that's not Chi that means even Jesus that is the Christ. Although it could be a preposition, it is a conjunction. Okay, from God, from the Son. Okay, notice, what about the Son? He is the faithful witness, that's martyrion, which is the faithful martyr. Now, every witness isn't a martyr. Except there is this, if you're going to be a witness, you've got to be a martyr to your own thinking. You've got to be a martyr to your own life. Otherwise, your witness is void. It's got to be thoroughly oriented in Christ. It's got to be the revelation. It's got to be what he said, how he said it, for the intent that he said it, the hour in which he said it, all of those things lying there, or you are not a witness, you're a false witness. Sorry about that, but that's the way it is. You understand what I'm saying? We're taught that by a prophet. Moses' message wouldn't work for the day of Jesus any more than Noah's would work for the time of Moses. And remember that we can't go back to Pentecost except in the sense of a reality. Because Pentecost is where the seed was sown. This age is where it is reaped. Right? So, okay. We understand. All right. He's the faithful witness. He is the martyr. Now, this faithful witness, which has its roots in the word martyr, is the prototype of Abel. Now, Abel was the first martyr because he was the witness. And he was the witness by correctly dividing the word and correctly initiating the sacrificial lamb. And he was the one who gave his life because of his correctness. See, now, that's what you could say for me to live as Christ. When you have a correctness, you can say for me to live as Christ. Otherwise, you cannot say it. Now, we just think of this here, this bit about Abel for just a second. Jesus was the prototype, which was the lamb, this type being a lamb, being Abel. And remember, the lamb had to be the first fruit, the first one that opened the matrix, the first one born. Now, in Abel, he was not the first one born. But he was the first true human being born. Now you say, well, how come then we get these types sort of lopsided? You don't. Because God being a Savior is necessary to predestinate a sinner in order to become a Savior. So therefore, before there could be a sheep that would be predestinated to be a sacrifice, there had to be the necessity for it. Now I'm looking at Abel as a type of Christ in this respect. He's the firstborn. He's the first real human being. And he is the one, and you'll notice that he's the first one then truly born of a woman that's a true human being. And you'll notice that this one, Jesus, is the first one born of a woman who is a true seed of Almighty God, the only begotten the Father. So we have a type here, an anti-type fulfilled, and this one that is a faithful witness. And he is our Savior. And he is also the firstborn from among the dead, being the first one that died to die no more, having taken up his life. So, all right, we're looking at Jesus, who is the Christ. He is the faithful witness. He fulfills every single type. In him is everything that we need to have, which is supplied to us from God. And he's the prince of the kings of the earth. That's he's the ruler. He's the top one. Unto him that loved us, that is, this one who is Jesus the Christ, washed us from our sins in his own blood. Now, that can be applied two ways. It can be applied to God, who is spirit, who became flesh through the flesh of the Logos, becoming the sperm and the egg, and coming into the place of flesh and blood, or you can put it right back on the Son, it doesn't matter, because in this instance they become one. He loved us, washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us a kingdom of priests. In other words, this is a Melchizedek priesthood that is here. It is not the Aaronic priesthood. To God and his Father, to him be glory and forever and ever. And he cometh with clouds, every eye is going to see him. They that pierced him, all kings of the earth shall mourn because of him. Even so, amen. Now notice, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, which is to come. You say, is that a further revelation? No, that's the key to the revelation. That Alpha is Omega. And notice he doesn't say, I'm what is in between. He doesn't have to say that. As I've said, if you've got a board that's oak at both ends, and if one continues board, it's oak.
So if you have something in the beginning that was indicated as God, and at the end time is indicated or vindicated as God, you know that what went between was all of God. Don't fuss, don't argue. That's why the seals are open, in order for you to see what went in between and what is going on now to take you where you're going. Now, that's people say, well, just a minute. Why would he have history? Then why did God give his history to Moses? The spirit of Moses is here. What do you expect? See, we don't deal in this church in my preaching with peanuts and peanut shells. We go right to the coconut, so to speak. We're no fooling around. See, we know what we speak of and why we speak and why these things are done. There's no wandering of the mind and no wondering of the mind. We don't W-N-D-E-R, we don't W-A-N-D-E-R. See? We've been headed in a direction of which there's no turning back. You see? Alright, he tells you here, I'm Alpha and Omega, and if you don't understand the Alpha Omega principle, you'll never see which was and is and is to come. Now you won't. See, the people right today cannot understand prophet in God, God and prophet Exodus. See, they can't. That's why they're still stuck with denominationalism. And the majority of people in this message, so-called, are still in Pentecost. Now, I know you're not following me, but just try to follow me. Just try to let your own thinking go, like I explained to you Wednesday night. To let your own thinking go means you don't have a thought in the subject, and you're all ears to get it. You know, Paul thought he had a lot. He thought he had a lot in the ball. Why? He said, I studied Gamaliel's feet. He said, I went out harassing the church. He said, I was a servant of God. He said, you couldn't put a finger on it. I was hallelujah the hallelujahs. And bam, God strikes him. Who are you, Lord? I'm Jesus. He said, oh my God. They were in every thought. He said, I'm some. I'm dead. I'm gone. What do you want, Lord? That's why he said, the revelation was not in me, not a man. I got it right in him. Every one of my thoughts said, boom! And for the people who cannot lay aside their thoughts, you will no more understand this message than a dead hog will understand the glories of God. Now, I'm sorry, I hit it awful hard, and I'm awful blunt, and I'm awful rough, and I'm awful mean, and I'm awful dirty. And I use terrible angles. I say a dead hog. Dead dog? Dead sheep? What do you want to call it? But you better know flat, unless you let your thinking go, and I know what I am talking about because I am a prime example of 4.5 hours batting my brains on what I thought I knew the prophet taught on the Holy Ghost. And after 4.5 hours, I have witnesses, my wife and the brewers. Heard me through that door and they said, Brother Branham, are you trying to tell me that the baptism with the Holy Ghost and rebirth is one and the same thing? In other words, my thinking was gone. He said, now you got it, Doc. And I'm not that guy to be fooled as that. She's too glib for me. Pin my ears back. I don't like ears being pinned back, even by a prophet. God's a different story. He's taught me, pin my ears back, and I got to humble myself. He'd humble pie. That's different. But the prophet was there, and God was there, and the pillar of fire. I couldn't see him. He pinned my ears back. I said, what about your experience? He said, don't go by experience. Go by the word of God, which is a revelation. I sat in a room with him, and I argued concerning, do the saints go through the tribulation or don't they? The pre-tribulation rapture secret. And the more I argued, I wouldn't let my thoughts go. The darker the room got, so I finally said, Brother Branham, just one more question. He said, Brother Bill, go ahead. I said, is it thus saith the Lord? He said, it is thus saith the Lord. I said, Brother Branham, I believe you. My thoughts went. He said, people today don't understand the difference between the coming and the appearing. Then let your thoughts go. You say, how? Shut up and listen. I'm going to tell you something. There's hardly one out of me who can shut up and listen. And I'll prove it to you. You're pretty good folk because you love me and you trust me. But I can sit with theologians and smart men and wrap this Bible around my... And when I start talking, I can tell instantly they are not listening. They're thinking too rebellious. I sat a man down and I said, shut up and listen. I'm going to tell you something, bud. You know that Bible 10 times as Ned Iverson, I'll tell you flat. You're not taking it off the tape because it's a true story. I said, Ned, you haven't been listening. Your mind has been full of questions while I talked. Now stop it. Or I stopped talking. I want you to sit there and listen with no questions. I'm going to tell you something. I have seen in Brother Branham's meetings where people raised questions and got up on the floor and said things. They died. Get rid of your questions. Just sit and listen. If you can't sit and listen, you're never going to make any rapture or any anything, because the prophet said, if 10 people ever get the same mind, it better be God's mind. There'll be a rapture. To my utter dismay, I've preached over 2 years now. Since 1977, I've preached almost entirely on the presence. And I get phone calls, and I'll be saying a thing, the man will cut in. And although instantly, he doesn't know one thing I am saying. Let your mind go. Brother Branham said, the rapture is a revelation. That means one thing to you and me. We didn't get it right. Everything we got then is wrong. One word off, one premise, we are out of the rapture. It is no revelation. It is nothing, because it is not God. Because you void the word of God by tradition. Then there's not a promise of good to you, but of death. Unless you get it right. Oh, you say, I don't believe that. The blood covers. Is that a fact? Is that a fact? I'll tell you, you're a liar to yourself and to Almighty God. The scripture said, if we walk in the light as he is the light, we have fellowship and the blood cleanses. Without light, the blood does not cleanse. There goes your blood. There goes your rapture. There goes everything. That's why it takes a specific revelation of a certain specific order, which involves God, which involves the Son, which involved a prophet, which today involves a prophet. God, Lord Spirit, the great mediator, the prophet John from another prophet to another prophet. Three prophets and two make five, which is grace. How do you figure it? I don't figure nothing. I believe it. You say, how? Because I let my thinking go. So I just shut up your Justin. The big boy that says he knows the Greek. He's the guy that says, oh, that wasn't a prophet. The talk to John. Brother Brand said it was. So much for the Greek. And the Bulgarians, the Hungarians, and God knows what. Ukrainians, and the Newfies, and the British. They're Israel fat. They're the ones who wrote the law to be in England. The guy said, yeah, but there won't be any Englishmen on it. Why, the flood's going to take it. It's going to wipe the islands out. What are you talking about? You know, people boast. You better shut up and listen. Not to me, to a prophet. Alpha and Omega. You want to get to know God? You want to know how he operates? You better know the Alpha. And the minute you see an Omega, you know you're there. What? To the end time. If the prophet ever taught us anything, he taught us that truth. And I've taught it consistently since about 1975, somewhere in there, maybe three, maybe earlier, or earlier, so I think maybe one of his months back in 1971. Yeah, it'd be back by 1971, at least if not predating that. All right. He said, I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending. Saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come. God manifesting, God revealing himself in a certain way that you can't miss it. And if it's laid down, Brother Branham said, the first time, it's got to be that way every time until the very end. Because God doesn't have another thought on the subject or a better thought on the subject. Now, the other day I mentioned infinity. God is infinite. 36 trillion times, 36 trillion times, 36 trillion times, 36 trillion to infinite number of times goes into infinity infinite number of times. Then God must have known how many times a flea would bat its eyes, how many it would take to make a pound of tallow. You say, why didn't the prophet get down and use some great language like Einstein? Why should he? Einstein just confused himself in the world. Brother Branham came along, brought the church out of bondage. Fap, who needs Einstein? Come on, man alive. What are we, in some kind of a cooking school? All right. He said, I'm your companion, tribulation. Well, he said, every eye is going to see him come with clouds. And those that pierced him. All right, you got the whole thing taken in Israel and the Gentiles, the whole bit. Okay, I was in the Spirit in the Lord's day. Now that's where we got to. I was in the Spirit in the Lord's day. I became in the Spirit to the Lord's day. Now notice, to have the revelation of Jesus Christ that God gave to him, that Jesus gave it through a great prophet to John, for him to give it to us and seal it up, that would require now the Son giving the book to the Father on the grounds of being loosed, taken down here to a prophet to give it to us. He looked down there. Now you can't see what's in here until those seals are open. There's no way. Okay. Write it in the book. I turned to see the voice that spake. Alright. Scriptural voice. To see the one behind it. Voice like a trumpet. What does a trumpet do? A trumpet does several things. It calls the people together. Calls them to a feast. Calls it to rapture. Calls it to resurrection. Calls it to introduce a person. The last trump, the bride's going to get chained. All right, saw seven golden candlesticks. In the midst, he saw this one. Now, you notice that Brother Branham said that he saw a judge. All right? In the rapture tape on Wednesday, we read that Brother Branham, according literally from this and going back to the Patmos vision, he said, I have always believed that he was more than a man. He was deity. Now, deity can't be born. And he explained how he was deity, because God indwelt the man. He made a man that was baptized in the River Jordan, who was the Logos of God, the Logos becoming flesh. In other words, God's apparency, God's apparent. His theophany. God coming into view would be now through the man. So this one was born. Special creation. God taking a chemistry. This chemistry was Jesus, who was the Christ. God anointed him. And God indwelt him. And because God indwelt him, this one was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And I verily believe that Elohim compressed himself, literally took on himself the flesh of a man, which was the flesh of the Word. And we saw God in a man at that time. Far beyond what would be in a prophet. Far beyond. Okay. This is the Lord's day that John saw him in. Took him way down there. Now, what we want to do is look at this Lord's day a little while. And we're going to read in Isaiah chapter 2, chapter 2. That's way back in the first part of Isaiah. I was going to call it chapter 11, but it's not chapter 11, it's chapter 2. Now, we got a nice air conditioner here, but it seems nobody gets here enough to turn it on. Now, I think that's really a little ridiculous. It can't be turned on earlier. So it should be turned on. Either we get some kind of a thing to turn it on, or someone's going to have to turn it on. No, these aren't nice things to say anyway, but look, we're not babies anymore. Come on. A little responsibility doesn't hurt anybody. Okay. We're going to read then verse 11. The lofty looks of men should be humble, the haughtiness of men should be bowed down, the Lord alone should be exalted in that day. Now notice, the Lord alone should be exalted at a certain time. The lofty looks of man should be humbled. The haughtiness of men should be bowed down. What is a haughty spirit? It's a spirit of pride and riding over people's heads. It's a Nicolaitan spirit that cannot be told anything. They're going to have their way if you die for it. And they'll take you to hell on a bobsled. You know, tobogganing a bobsled isn't how fast it goes, it accelerates. And they care less. They don't know what it is to step aside. They're arrogant. They'll stand in the presence of a man of stature and sneer and try to cut him down, get him out of the way. They're haughty. Let me read about it. For behold, the day cometh that burneth in oven, and all the proud, yea, all that do wickedly, should be a stubble. All right, we're towards a stubble day. Everyone that is lifted up should be brought low. And all the cedars of Lebanon that are high lifted up should be, and upon the oaks of Bashan. Now he's describing the Nicolaitan complex. The fivefold ministry. The organizational demands that have built themselves to the place where they are renowned. If you call it that, I got a better word for it. Upon all the high mountains, upon all the hills that are lifted up. Every high tower. What was the first tower? A tower unto the heavens. What was that tower unto heaven? You think they didn't know there were clouds up there and they couldn't get beyond the clouds? Certainly they knew they couldn't get beyond it. Don't you think for 1 minute that Noah came back and told them the story of the flood? And how the flood came? Certainly. What was that tower? It was an obelisk around which was 11-acre circle of the signs of the zodiac. With their own interpretation, their own understanding. So today you've got the books of creeds and doctrines. You've got the dogmas. The organization. They say, you join us and we'll get you there. Upon every high tower, every fence wall, they build their fences. Upon the ships of Tarshish, all the pleasant pictures. In other words, commerce is in here. This is a picture of Revelation chapter 18. The idols shall be utterly abolished. What idols? Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian. They're in idolatry. They'll go up to the, now listen, they'll go to the holes of the rocks, under the caves of the earth. Now this is the day of the Lord he's talking on. For the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon everyone that is proud and lofty, upon everyone that is lifted up, shall be brought low. Notice, any authoritative position of anybody had better be examined, both by himself and by the people that he's talking to. You better know you're preaching for God if you stand in the pulpit. You better know you're talking for God. Or somebody's talking for God if you're listening. I didn't bring a tape this morning. I think my wife might have put it to one side. I couldn't see it the other day and forgot to ask her. I want to play a tape by John Martin. I want to play the introduction. And I'll bet you that I can make that man fool every one of you sitting here unless you're perceptive. Because he's going to say the very things that you think that you as a guardian of the word and the faith of this message are involved in. And before you know it, you'll be agreeing. And you'll be agreeing with the man that calls the presence a puke doctrine. Because anybody can say anything that sounds good. See why he mentioned his name? Because he said it, I didn't. I've got a right to examine anybody, and I examine myself above all else. Because I told you time after time I've been scared to go to the word, the prophet. And I've finally gone. The night he preached the rapture, when he came to the shout as a message, I said, my heavens, Brother Branham. You said a lot of strange things. That's the strangest I ever heard you say. I can't take that. And suddenly I said, just a minute, when was he ever wrong? I said, I take it. My thoughts went. Here you are. Gonna abolish the idols. They're gonna run the holes of rocks. The caves of the earth for fear of the Lord. For the glory of his majesty when he arises and shake terribly the earth. Now listen, that's the day of the Lord. That he's coming to wreak vengeance upon the organizational systems. Why you say that's church? Church is the world too. You think Russia's going to escape? No way. She'll burn the flesh of the harlot, and God will burn her. Don't think for one minute anybody's going to agree. In that day a man shall cast his idols of silver, his idols of gold, and which they have made one for each one for him to worship, to the moles and to the bats. In other words, your theological system is going to come tumbling down. Your ears too late. They'll say, hey, wasn't this to happen, that to happen? Listen, it's while they were going to get oil that they couldn't get it, that it was all over. I got an hour and a half phone call from Bill Smith the other day. He's tough about his cousin. Good Nazarene boy, always lived a life. Now he's running scared, left the Nazarenes, but got in with Hagin, a Trinitarian. But he said the man spent $7,000 on his ceiling and his office. This building only costs about, with the air conditioner, about $12,000, $13,000 to renovate. This man put $7,000 on his ceiling. Now why? So he said, they'll give me money to go here and go there. He said, I don't want the money. He said, I'm scared. And Bill said, is this the hour the foolish virgin are trying to get oil? It's too late for my cousin. I said, we don't take that attitude. We wait and see. But Bill's right. Idols won't do him a bit of good. They went to get the oil. Now, where is the place they go for oil? For the last group that had it, Pentecost. And the life has moved out. Now, where's your gifts and all this stuff? Salt's anointed. Listen, my brother-in-law was Nazarene for all of his life. Just about. I guess the last 20 years he got fed up with Nazarenes and moved out. He never saw this message I preached. I didn't tell him too much. He heard me preach. That was the end of it. But he's pretty old anyways, up in his 80s or 90s, pretty old. I don't know what he is. He's way, way up there. I'm the youngest of the family, and I'm 69. My sister old, way older than me, and he was way older than her, so heaven knows how old he is. We're back. He's finally settled, but just going to Old Baptist Church. Might as well. Where's his idol? Where's all he's talking about sanctification holy? Don't find a bigger bunch of crooks under God's high heaven than those that pretend they got so much. I didn't say Nazarenes, I just said those that pretend they got so much. They'll go to the cliffs of the rocks, to the tops of the ragged rocks for the fear of the Lord, for the glory of His majesty when He arises to shake terribly the earth. Now it says, when He arises to shake terribly. Let's go to Revelation chapter 6. All right, this is Revelation chapter 6, the great tribulation. And here's the day of the Lord then. I beheld the sixth seal was open. The sixth seal is already open. With a great earthquake. But there's another one coming. We've had little John, now we're going to have big John. And little John was mighty big. And the whole world knew there was an earthquake in Alaska. But they knew nothing about this and what they'll know in the next one. The earthquake opened the sixth seal. Now, there's coming an earthquake out of that sixth seal. The sun's going to be sackcloth, the hair, the moon is blood. The stars will fall. There's a fig tree caster and town of figs. Heaven depart as a scroll. When it's rolled together, and every mountain and island moved out of their places. The kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the chief captains, the mighty men, the king of bondmen, every free man hid themselves the dens of the rocks and caves, and said the mountains and rocks fall and us and hide us from the face of him that sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Now, I believe that there's not a conjunction, but a preposition, even the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of His wrath is coming, who shall be able to stand? Now, what's He say? The great men, okay? The cedars, the great trees, the oaks, the mountains, the ships, the whole complex system, which is an earth religious system, which you're into right now, is going to go down the drain. Now watch what it says in verse 22. Cease ye from man whose breath is in his nostrils. For wherein is he to be accounted of? Well, if you're going to cease from him, who are you going to look to? The rock from whence you're hewn. It's going to take the definitive of God to make you secure. What is the definitive of God? The revealed word. Or you say the blood is. The blood isn't. Because the blood can stand there and see everybody but a mental case and a baby go to hell. You got to have the light. So the definitive is the light. Or why is this written by a prophet? Okay, let's find out a little more. Well, I'll go to that back to it a little later. That's going on in chapter 2. You see Isaiah 2 I read there. And chapter 2, I got read enough in there. Okay, let me go down to chapter, 13. Chapter 13. I'm not going to take every one of these, but I got to just take some. Okay, 6 to 11. Howl ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. Now, the day of the Lord, and whatever precedes it and surrounds it, is destruction. Therefore shall all hands be faint, and every man's heart shall melt, and they shall be afraid. Pangs and sores take hold of them. They shall be in pain as one that travaileth. They'll be amazed one at another. Their faces shall be as flames. Now watch. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate. He'll destroy the sinners there out of it. Now he's telling you what he's going to do. He won't destroy the earth per se, but he destroys the sinners. Now remember, the earth was formed to be inhabited. Then who will inhabit it? The righteous will inhabit it. See, you can't take away the purpose of God. All right. For the stars of heaven and constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkness going forth. The moon shall not cause their light to shine. And I will punish the world for their evil, the wicked for their iniquity, and cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease, and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. Now notice, arrogance, pride, and haughtiness is what we're dealing with the last day more than any other day. See? All right. Let's go to Acts 2, where Peter talks about this great day of the Lord. He said, why, these are not drunken. This is a phenomenon. This phenomenon spoken by the prophet Joel. It'll come to pass in the last day, saith God, I'll pour my spirit upon all flesh. Now notice, what's going to happen preceding destruction? Pour my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters prophesy. Your young men see vision. Your old men see dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaid, both old and young, I'll pour my spirit and they will prophesy. Now that's not the spirit of prophecy. Never kid yourself. Doesn't say that. Because if they've got the spirit of prophecy on his group, then they got the same spirit on the other group, and that's impossible because the spirit of prophecy is the testimony to Jesus Christ. And if you've got a testimony to his, you have become a part of the witness. And you're a part of him. You're lying with Abel and all the rest of them. Doesn't say you are. Now, I'll show wonders in heaven above, signs on earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor smoke, the sun turned to darkness, the moon to blood, before the great and notable day of the Lord come. Now notice, he's pinning it down. It'll come to pass, whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now that doesn't go with those verses up there, tells you down here. Because he sends a call out for mercy. There's nobody getting saved up there after that. Unless 144,000 Israel. All the rest are purged out. Earth is purged, bride is purged, church is purged, Israel's purged. What do you got left? See? All right. Let's go to Isaiah 34. In verse 8. For it is the day of the Lord's vengeance and the year of recompenses for the controversy of Zion. Well, I better read verse 1. Come near ye nations to hear and hearken ye people. Let the earth hear and all that is therein, the world and all things that come forth of it. Now listen, did you let your own thinking go and just read what was there? Come near you nations. Come near you Gentiles. Come here you people to hear and hearken. That's what it says, you people. Let the earth hear and all that is there in the world and all things that come forth of it. A message goes forth. Warning before judgment. Now, who's going to bring it? See, she's a man with breath in his nostrils. It better be God himself doing something about it. See? A work of the Spirit. For the indignation of the Lord is upon all nations, his fury upon all their armies. He hath utterly destroyed them, he hath delivered them to the slaughter. That's a prophecy. I don't pray for America, it's too late. Time's run out. Prophet said it. Their slain shall be cast out. Their stink come up out of their carcasses. The mountains shall be melted with their blood. The host of heavens be dissolved. The heavens shall be rolled back as is together as a scroll. And all their hosts shall fall down as the leaf falls off the vine, as the falling fig from the tree. For my sword shall be laid in heaven. Behold, it shall come down upon Edomia, upon the people of my curse to judgment. You know the pilot was an Edomian? The sword of the Lord's lift is filled with blood. It's made fat with fatness, with the blood of the lambs and goats, with the fat of the kidneys of the ram. The Lord has a sacrifice in Bozrah. Behold, he cometh in Bozrah. Robes are dyed red. Who is he that cometh? That's the great one. A great star of the land of Edomia. The unicorn shall come down with him, the bullocks with the bulls. Their land shall be soaked with blood. Your dust made fat with fatness. What's he talking about? Hierarchies. Church systems. Don't you realize Israel had a church system made up of priests and they were the lousiest of the lousy? The high priest's sons reached in the pot. They had no business taking the choice parts dedicated to God and laid with the women right in the gate. You talk about having fornication up here in Chicago on the campus. They had it right there in the temple. Oh, it's a fun thing. Don't tell me preachers have changed. Fat. Wonder why I said over there in Quincy, I'll let you visit me, but no preachers? I'm not a nice boy either. I wish I were a Puritan. I wish I was the purest of the pure, the loveliest of the lovely. I'm the cruddiest of the cruddy. I've told you that. But don't link me up with this stuff. For it's the day of the Lord's vengeance, the year of the recompenses for the controversy of Zion. They got in arguments. Show me a church circle and a church meeting doesn't end in argument. That's why God sent a vindicated prophet. The stream shall be turned to pitch. The dust to brimstone. The land become burning pitch. What's he talking about? What they've done with the word. They turned it, it'll turn on them. We believe in the river flowing from Ezekiel's east gate. That started with Luther to the ankles, to the knees under Wesley, to the thighs under Pentecost. Waters which cannot be plumbed to take us over under William Branham, messenger of God. The other turns to brimstone, brings judgment when ours brings victory and glory to take us over. Now this is the day of the Lord we're talking about. This is where we're talking about the time that immediately precedes the destruction on earth. When he comes in vengeance. But I want to show you something here. I've showed you before, but I got just keeping the whole thing back on a purpose. All right. That's the 8th verse I read. The day of the Lord's vengeance. And the year of recompenses. Notice, day and years. All the years will be counted for. See? And the accounting will be instantaneous. But, there's a lot that surrounds it. And the people don't understand what surrounds it. Shall not be quenched day nor night. Verse 10, the smoke go up forever. Generation to generation, it shall lie waste. None shall pass through it over forever. Now you say, what does that mean? All right? I'll tell you. Every scripture has a compound meaning. So, let's go to 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter and verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, elements melt with a fervent heat, earth also and the works therein shall be burned up, seeing all these things shall be dissolved. What manner of persons ought he be in all holy behavior and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved. Now listen, the day of God, the day of the Lord, as Peter brought out here, go back again. Look at it. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. And he says the day of God. Same thing. But that is not at the opening of the millennium. That is at the end. Prior to New Jerusalem coming down on a dissolved and recreated heaven and earth. So you can see scripture here in Isaiah, which could well point to both the events, the one that is pre-tribulation or pre-millennium, and the one that is post-millennium. You say, can you separate them? No, I can't. I'm sorry. I'm not a prophet. But I'm just pointing it out to you. So don't get rattled. You have heard what the prophet said about the pre-millennials and the post-millennial, keep it there. And don't get it confused. Don't wonder, just understand and believe it. Don't get your thoughts roaming. Don't try to figure it. Just let it sit. Because as far as I can see, it's both here. I'm not going to try to separate any of it. You say, well, what do you really mean? I mean this. That is there a possibility when all is thrown to the lake of fire that that could be viewed sometime by the saints? I don't know. It could well be. Are these words here more symbolic of the disaster than they are a literal description of what is going on? I don't know. I'm not a prophet. But you better understand the day of the Lord is both before the millennium and it is after the millennium. The same as the judge is before the millennium and he's at the end of the millennium. See? Because he's in both places. Because Brother Branham saw him in the day of the Lord and preached for this hour. And put him right down at the white throne judgment and preached for that hour. Why? Because what God is, he always is and doesn't change from being what he is intrinsically. But the role may manifest at different times in different depths. For different reasons. All right. Verse 12, they shall call the nobles over the kingdom. And none should be there. Her princes be nothing. The thorns come up in her palaces. Nettles and brambles the fortress drug. The habitation of dragons and court of owls. He said the same thing about Tyre, I believe it was. Or was it Babylon? I'm not Babylon, maybe. The wild beast of the desert shall meet with the wild beast of the island. The satyr shall cry to his fellow. The screech owl shall rest there. And find her place of rest. There shall the great owl make her nest and lay and hatch and so on. Now, verse 16, seek out the book of the Lord and read. No one of these shall fail. None shall want her mate. For in my mouth it hath command. There's where Brother Brand said you get the right one seed, which is merely a compatible spirit. And his spirit it hath gathered them. What gathers us at the end time? This message. Who's doing it? God is his own messenger, but using a voice. Remember I showed you on Wednesday night that Brother Branham said, Jesus Christ does all three in descending, which is to bring a shout, which is a message. And he said, my message, talking about himself. So let's get that flat. And they say, well, Brother Vail preaches that the rapture is progressive. Well, what would you call it? What would you call it? The gathering together unto him is by the message. He hath cast a lot of them. He hath cast the lot for them, and his hand divided it unto them by line. They shall possess it forever. From generation to generation shall they dwell therein. Now what's he talking about? Line upon line and precept upon precept. The word is cast out before us. And we go into it line upon line, precept upon precept. Now, where's your organization, denominations, and something outside of this message that's going to live? Brother Brand said nothing outside this message has any life in it. Nothing outside this message shall live. He's got the same message that Paul had. It'll bring forth the dead, and we'll be judged by it. And the judging is not to condemnation. The judging is to placing. Okay. Now, let's go to Ezekiel, the 7th chapter. We could use other verses here, but we don't have to, and there's not a terrible a great number of them anyway. You'd be surprised how few actual references there are by the word, the day of God, or the day of the Lord. Now, we go to verse chapter 7 and verse 19. They shall cast their silver in the street. Their gold shall be removed. Their silver and gold shall not be able to deliver them in the day of the wrath of the Lord. They shall not satisfy their souls, neither fill their bowels, because it is the stumbling block of their iniquity. That's Revelation chapter 3, 14 to 17. It says they've sold out for money. Now listen, we're in like a little recession or depression. We've got people in this church looking for jobs and need jobs. But I'm going to tell you something. There's money out there to burn. That's right. I kid you not. This is Laodicea. There's wealth out there to burn. Go to almost a run-down restaurant up here. So you got so many customers you can't even take care of them. Stock market's zooming. Cars are back where they were. Now they want gas hogs again. See? Don't ever kid yourself. A little recession means anything. There's all kinds of silver and gold. And the church is depending on it. And the hour that the system fails, the church will have the silver and gold and take over. And that'll tell whether you want to go with God or go with the money. A little test going on right now. I don't know that I paid my price years ago. Maybe I have, maybe I haven't. I don't know. I'm not one to boast. Stumbling block. The stumbling block is money. The stumbling block is money. The stumbling block is money. That's why if a millionaire sat in this congregation, I'd walk out. Let's be honest. There's some of us got too much already. Now, it kind of hurt your feelings, maybe. You think you ain't got enough? Look around. You never had it so good. Not in this church. I'm talking out here in the world a whole bit. Stumbling box. A stumbling box over and go. How many preachers are selling your souls for money? The main stumbling blocks are what in the preacher's life? Popularity, women, and money. Now, if you got the money, you'll soon be popular and have all the women you want. If you got the popularity, you'll soon have the money, then get all the women you want. So you're trapped. I got news for you, and I'm very happy. I can walk down the streets of Barcelona if I went there. I could walk down Madrid if I walked there. I could walk down to Times Square, I'm sure, look there, and every prostitute in the corner would look at me and turn away. May God keep me in that way. You say, well, you'll soon be old enough. Well, that's fine. Thank you. That's a compliment, too. What about the money? The money's out there by the handful. When a preacher that I know can turn to man and confidently say to him, who would be his assistant pastor now, he said, well, that church is good for to us per year, at least $30,000 to $50,000. I got that on record. I kid you not. I got witnesses. I got a friend who went with a certain preacher on a trip, and that man came back. He said, Lee, he said, you know that guy said exactly how much money he was waiting for us each time. He said, now, why would a man do that? Preachers don't preach nothing anymore. Huh? Look, brother, sister, I'm not here to run you down. I'm here to run us down. To smarten us up. Don't think there's not money out there. I've told you many, many times, look, if I got on the road and really worked the angles, $100,000 would not be impossible. You say, why don't you do it? I don't want to do it. Money's not the answer. Faith is the answer, brother, sister. Faith is the answer. Because you're going to be brought face to face with it anyway. It says right here, it won't do you any good. What would be the good if I was worth $500,000? What would be the good if I had a millionaire sitting in the congregation? I'd just walk out. I'd have to walk out. I'm sorry. There's no way. God protect me. God help me to walk out if the day came. Or have some kind of understanding. Put it someplace else. Because the first thing a person with money does is going to come and run you. No way. No way. No way. I'll tell you what. The elder's next to the Holy Spirit. I'm the elder. If I let you down, I'm going to answer to God for the whole bunch of you. I'm willing to take that responsibility. Not your money. Not your lives. But I'll preach that word. What you do with the word, you can do what you want with it. Your conduct, anything else. I don't ride herd on you. But you know what the prophet said about men and women's dress, not just women, men, and everything else, how your homes are to be. You know that. It's been laid out. That needs preaching and re-preaching. You're kind of looking at the wrong guy. I'm here for one reason. To keep in touch with what I believe is what is going on at this hour. And I'm not a prophet. But I try to point you to these things by the grace of Almighty God. When He shows me grace, I try to help you. Now listen, it said right here, that's their stumbling block. Yeah, I'm sorry. You do what you want, but that's what it says. Now, I'm not saying give your money away. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about preachers, and I'm talking about the church in general. I'm not putting a finger on any one person in this church or as a church collective. I'm telling you what is going on. That's all. And the stumbling block is there. And that little word money is a bigger stumbling block than most people know. Maybe sometime you'll know more about it. Now, as for the beauty of his ornament, he said it in majesty. But they made the images of their abominations and their detestable things therein, therefore have I set them far from them. Now watch this verse that I read at this time. As for the beauty of his ornament, he set it in majesty, but they made the images of their abominations. The beauty of worship of Almighty God through Jesus Christ has become a filthy system of idolatry. That's right. Now, you heard what I read? What I said? That's what it is. Their detestable things are in there. What's that? Their creeds and their dogmas. Therefore have I set it, the thing that God placed in beauty and majesty, He has taken from them as He took the pillar of fire from the temple in the time of Israel. And all Ezekiel saw was creeping snakes and slimy crawling things within it. There's your church system. The bride comes out of her, brother, sister, and she doesn't organize. I'll see why I stay home, and I don't go anywhere. I want you to understand me in this church if nobody else understands me, because I'm part of this church. And I'm the head of the ministry here. And I kid you not, I can produce the money and the tickets that would take me around the world, time after place, time after time. When can I meet you at the airport? I say, you ain't going to meet me in the airport. We will take from Oslo into Sweden. I said, I'm not going to Oslo. I could be gone day and night, but I'm not going anywhere day and night. You know why? In case they say Lee Bill's trying to make himself a leader. And I'll stay home. And the only people that get my tapes, that absolutely have a loyalty, are those that send their tithe to this church, which I take out of this church. But the tithe that comes into this church now from people that I send tapes to is fairly large. And I'm obligated to help them all I can with tapes. Anybody else, if they want them, they're going to have to find a way to get them, which they have. Finally, I broke down and said, well, there's certain channels you can go through if you want them. But there's no man to lay a finger on that I have organized anything and started anything, though that is around the country, and it's a lie. Long as it's a lie, I can rest. But no way, no way am I going to, by the grace of Almighty God, put into disrepute the beauty of His ornament. Make Jesus Christ stand back and take a second place. No way, shape, and form. No way will I stand up and say I know more than the prophet, because I don't. No more will I preach anything to him revealed but what the prophet said, as far as I can possibly know and possibly bring to your attention. No way. And that's not a psychology I'm pulling on you, because look, I don't have any time for psychology. He said, I will give it into the hands of strangers for a prey, and to the wicked of the earth for a spoil, they shall pollute it. They're going to bring down all those systems now. My face will I turn also from them, and they shall pollute my sacred, and they shall pollute my sacred place for the robbers and defile it, and make a claim for the land is full of bloody, make a chain for the land is full of bloody crimes, the city full of violence. Wherefore I bring the worst of the heathen. They'll possess their houses and so on. And you can see right today, brother, sister, the system that the church is in is getting worse and worse and worse until the church preaches anarchy. Sets up homosexuals. Listen to me. If the church turned on sin, the government of the United States would be forced to turn on sin. But the church won't turn on sin. That's why you've got a hell-bound government, a hell-bound nation in America right today. Because the church is to blame. A judge one time stood up and he said, what is the matter with you people in church? I'm getting cases that the church should take care of. Marriage and divorce is in my lap. It should be in your lap. You deal with the laws of God. I deal with secular things. But he said, you fill my courts with what you should be dealing with. How does a Roman Catholic church deal with marriage and divorce? Pay the Pope enough money and you're convenient to let off. What, so he can go out and get drunk? Yes, drunk with his own self-pride and obnoxious heresies. Say he can forgive sin and break up a marriage. And say Jackie Kennedy never, well, how was it? She can marry the divorced man, the big Greek guy. Yeah, on asses. It's okay because the Pope said so. I want to know where God said so. I'll know the Pope can tell me just one little thing that'll come to pass. To indicate, he might have some little vindication or something. But you saw what his hand did in Poland, walked right in and took politics over. Bravissimo Popio. Take it over. Be glad. Mischief shall come upon mischief, rumor upon rumor. They shall seek a vision of the prophet, but the law shall perish from the priest and the counsel from the ancients. When this message comes, there aren't any more. When this word of prophecy has come, there aren't any more. When this part falls in with the other six parts, there aren't any more. Listen, people, this message so-called, that is, they call themselves the message, they're seeking all around the country for something else. Running, running, running. Why don't they stand still? They heard what the prophet said. They're not going to make the first resurrection because they can't stand still. He said it. I found the scripture on it. That takes care of them. Let's go to Joel chapter 1. Hold you, Joel Amos. Okay, let's read verse 15 and 20. Alas for the day of the Lord is at hand. And as a destruction from the Almighty shall it come. Is not the meat cut off from our eyes? Yea, joined that is from the house of our God. The seed is rotten under their clods, the garners are laid desolate, the barns are broken down, for the corn is withered. How the beasts groan? The herds of cattle are perplexed because they have no pasture. The flocks of the sheep are made desolate. That's the condition the world's in. Ecologically, the world's shot. Even the springs of water aren't pure anymore. Where are you going to go to get something to live on? The scripture said when a man asks for an egg, will he give him one of those things that bites your scorpion? No, he said no. He said he won't do it. But you know, Brother Prophet, Brother Brandon told us, he said don't eat eggs. I still eat eggs, and I admit I disobey. Don't live in the valley. Try to get out. He said eat a little wild meat. Try to cut down. How many people really believe the prophet? No, not one of us. Now, Jesus said, in that day, you could eat an egg. Most of the eggs I get taste like chicken manure rather than a fresh sweet egg. Why? Because they're feeding a reconstituted horse manure. Made into protein. Oh, brother, sister. I'm sorry, but that's the truth. I'll lie to you. Now, if you could get out here and raise a chicken or two, I would say you're not disobeying the word of the Lord. traps. But how do you know your chicken is not getting radiation fallout or something? What do you say? The sign went up with the store recently. Eat at your own risk. All food is dangerous. That's exactly right. The prophet said there's nothing left in the food. He said, therefore, if the body's turned to mush, what about your brains? Then what about your spiritual revelation if your mind's gone? You haven't got the mind of God. You can't let your own thinking go. Where are you going to go? See? It's rotten. It's all gone. O Lord, to thee will I cry, for the fire hath devoured the pasture of the wilderness. The flame hath burned off the trees of the field. The beasts of the field cry unto thee. What about up here in Utah? Mudslide, water, too much. Suddenly, a forest fire. 250,000 acres up, like that. What's the crops doing out here without rain? They better get them pretty soon. You say, I'll pray. That's fine. We pray for rain. I don't know much for praying about the weather. I just pray, Lord, take us through it. That's what I'll ever do. I prayed for rain. I don't know if I... But you, it's fine to pray. I'm not saying you shouldn't pray. The beast of field cry unto thee. How many endangered species are there right now? The rivers of water dried up. The fire devoured the pasture wilderness. What's that? Times of drought, the whole thing. I don't believe that's a natural fire that's come down and burned things up. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sound alarm of Holy Mount. Let the inhabitants of your land tremble. For the day of the Lord cometh. It's nigh at hand. A day of darkness and gloominess. A day of clouds and thick darkness. As the morning spread upon the mountains. A great people and strong. There hath not been ever light. Neither shall there be any more. Even to the years of many generations. He said, this is gonna do it. This is where the people of the earth are all finished off. Everything's gone. A fire devours before them. Flame burneth behind them. The land is a garden of Eden before them. Behind is desolation. Nothing escaped them. Appearance of horses. The horsemen they shall run. The noise of chariots topping mountains are going to leap. Terrible instruments of war. So on. Verse 10. The earth shall quake before them. The heavens shall tremble. The sun and moon be dark. The stars withdraw their shining. The Lord shall his voice before his army. For his camp is very great. He strong that executes his word. Notice he is strong that executes his word. That's the judge. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. Who can abide it? Now you notice in all of this going on, wars and rumors of wars, this is peaking up for the time when the great warrior with the great war comes on with the bride take over. Therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me, and so on. Okay, let me just go on here and read in here, same chapter. Verse 21, fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Now there he says he's going to take back the ecological balance. He's going to restore the land back to the Garden of Eden. Be not afraid, you beast of the field. You won't be decimated anymore. You're not going to be killed off. I'm going to bring you back. The pasturelands shall do spring. The tree bears your fruit. The fig tree and vine yield their strength. Be glad then, the children of Zion, rejoice the Lord your God, for he hath given you their former rain moderately. And cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain and the first. Now you cross that word month out of there because that doesn't belong there. The prophet told us what it was. It was a repeat of the former rain. The original word came back to the bride. The true interpretation of the word for this hour. So we're back to originality. Now, and the floor shall be full of wheat. The fats will overflow. Now he's been talking about the day of the Lord. And he hasn't been talking about wheat, but he's talking about wheat now. Whose fan is in his hand thoroughly purges door before and gathers wheat in the garden of the chaff is going to burn up. Here's your day of the Lord. Now, right now, for the first time he's talking about wheat. The bride. Before he is talking incessantly upon the chaff, to the chaff, and about the chaff. And that stuff out there. Organization. Now restore the earth, the locust ate, and so on. Verse 26, and you shall beat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of your Lord. The rest don't. And my people never be ashamed. And you know that I am in the midst of Israel. That I am the Lord your God and none else. And my people shall never be ashamed. And it'll come to pass afterward. After the prophet's on the scene with the word. That the mixed anointing comes. They're spoken of in Acts. They're spoken of in Hebrews. Everybody's going to be anointed that wants to be. And after that, sets in the Great Tribulation. And at the end of the Great Tribulation is a consummation. Now, let's go to the third chapter. Verse 9, proclaim among the Gentiles, prepare war, wake up the mighty men, let all the men of war draw near, let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords, your pruning hooks into spears, let the weak say, I'm strong. Now that's your arms race. Remember under Hitler, it was guns or butter. They chose the guns. Under Russia, go back to Stalin, he was the worst. See, you get to the present fella, and he's a wolf in sheep clothing. He ain't no secret admirer of the West and a liberal westernizer. He's one of the biggest liars ever in the world because he's head of the old OGPU, the old KGB and the rest of it. Now assemble yourselves and come all ye heathen, gather yourselves round thither, cause thy mighty ones to come down, O Lord. Let the heathen be wakened, come to the valley of Jehoshaphat. Now you go to Revelation chapter 19, and you'll see that they're putting in the sickle to reap the vine of the earth and get them to Armageddon where the blood flows in the valley. And he said here, verse 15, the moon's darkened, the stars withdraw their shining. It's just a great tribulation and a consummation. The Lord shall roar out of Zion, shall utterly shake in his voice from Jerusalem. The heavens earth shall shake. The Lord will bring hope to his people, the strength of the children of Israel. Now we understand that. We could read on even further, but I won't. Okay, now I'm going to take you back to Malachi, the fourth chapter. We're going to let you go. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven. And all the proud, ye all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. The day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts. It'll leave them neither root nor branch. Now watch verse 2. But unto you that fear my name, shall the same one that ariseth to shake the earth terribly rise upon you at the same time with immortality coming out of him. Now, this is what we're looking at. See, what happens to people? They don't follow Brother Branham. Let's go back to Matthew. We go back to Matthew 24. Well, that's not as good as Luke 17. Let's go to Luke 17. That's better still. All right. And in verse 28, likewise as it was in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold. They planted, they built. But the same day Lot went out of Sodom. It rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus it will be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. And nobody but nobody till Brother Branham ever preached the positive, only the negative. Nobody realized that God would come down in a human form and give a word of promise which would bring the promised Son on earth. At the same time, Sodom was to be destroyed, and Lot taken out. Now, your types aren't exactly perfect on Lot there, because he wasn't elect. That'll be a type of those saved. They'll have to go through tribulation, the whole bit, they come up the white throne, they're going to make it all right. But I want you to notice, when God came to Abraham, the cry went up, will the judge of all the earth destroy the righteous with the wicked? And he said, no way, shape, or form. Now, let's go back to the book of Thessalonians, the fourth chapter. First Thessalonians. Now, I would not have you ignorant concerning them which are asleep, and you that are alive at the time of that time. Now, verse 17, that we which are alive remain should be caught up together to meet the caught together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, so we're ever going to be with the Lord. Now, but of times and seasons, brethren, verse chapter 5, you got no need I write you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. Now notice, he is joining the rapture and the presence, the appearing with the day of the Lord to destroy. Putting them together. They shall say peace and safety, come sudden destruction. Travail upon them with a child. They'll not escape. But ye brethren are in darkness, not in darkness, that you should be overtaken as a thief. You're the children of light. The children of the day. We are not of night nor of darkness. Therefore, a man under the blood and full of the Holy Ghost is full of light. He is not asleep, but he's watching. He is not drunken, but he's sober. Watch verse 9. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Who is it in Malachi? The Great One coming, wreaking vengeance, bringing deliverance. Now listen, the day of the Lord is literally then going on now. Our day of the Lord. Not unto destruction, but to deliverance. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, which is a message, which was William Branham's message. Brother, sister, 1965, the prophet left the scene. Almost 18 solid years. The people have been gathering in on this word and coming into immortality. A bride of such character to stand still in the waters of separation until she's dressed by the word. Now, Brother Branham equated the garment, inner garment, to the word, to the Holy Spirit, and he said the blood perfects the bride. How can a bride be away from the Holy Spirit, from the Word, and from the blood, or anything of God? For God had a purpose. And the purpose came in foreknowledge and election unto predestination. And we have not been predestinated to loss. We've been predestinated to glory. So, brother, sister, look, the day of the Lord may scare a lot of people. It may throw them into a tizzy. But it doesn't bother us because whose fan is in his hand? He'll thoroughly purge his floor. He'll gather wheat in the garner and burn up the chaff. We'll be gone by that time. I submit to you as far as I know, as far as I can preach, if we are not literally in the day of the Lord of the windup where he's bringing in the wheat preparatory to burning the chaff, what in the name of heaven are we in? Why are we looking down the road? We're looking right now at the fact that he is here and the fan is in his hand. And Brother Branham said that was a sweeping, healing revival that revived the world. And he said it's been going on and it hasn't died since. So the fan is still in his hand. But they don't know that Brother Branham said, as he said in the rapture tape, God gave these great signs and wonders and miracles to commend himself to us, to gain our approval of him, to get our eyes on him. Then you better cease from man whose breath is in his nostrils. I'm not preaching anarchy. There's a fivefold ministry. Don't worry about that. There's a real bride. But you better believe there's a very, 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 very few brides. Because when Brother Branham preached the Branham Tabernacle was loaded to the gills and overflowing when he preached on the anointed ones of the end time. And he said, how many of you people understand what I'm saying? I raised my hand in full faith because I knew that sermon before he preached it because, see, we talked about it. I'd even said, Brother Branham, will you name me a false anointed one and a true anointed one? He said, certainly. He said, me and so-and-so. The big fellow out there in Oklahoma, if you can't catch that when you ask, you write me a letter. I might not answer it. Yeah, he told me flat. How would he know? How did Elisha know Gehazi's heart? He said, where did you go, Gehazi? Well, he said, I didn't go anywhere. He said, listen, Elisha, I didn't have time to go anywhere. He said, oh, he said, did not my heart go with you? He said, bring out that junk, he said, you took. Now, he said, I'll tell you what. He said, you did yourself a good turn. Now, he said, I'll do you a better turn. You'll learn your lesson. He said, the leprosy that was on him is now on you. So much for your money. What are the people selling themselves for this day? A little bit of gold. A little bit of this, a little bit of that. Won't be too long till the church takes over. And men will say, well, I've got to have a job. And they'll sell themselves to a union that's dedicated to the harlot. Who many years ago went to Switzerland? Which pope was it went there? For the great international union conference in Zurich, I think it was, or Geneva, perhaps. I can't remember now. And who got up there and commended them? The popey old boy stood up there. And he went to the unions. He already selling him into bondage. He'll say one of these days, now you lovely people, you now look at what is the use of you starving? Why should the wheels of commerce grind to a halt? We have the gold. And we'll just put it in the pot. And all you people, all you got to do is come to church. You've been wanting to come to church anyway. And I think it's going to be marvelous. All that lovely anointing is going to be there. Oh, they'll be singing. They'll be shouting when the saints have gone right home. Yeah. Well, listen, don't you think so? Didn't the prophet tell us he'd be making altar calls as though he were here and he's not? Didn't Billy Graham come up with the same thing? It wasn't Wesley who said, I'm not afraid that the Methodists will ever cease to exist on this earth. I am afraid that the dove will have flown, and they will not know that he has flown. And he flew. He flew to Pentecost. Pentecost the people. then the dove did a very strange thing. He left the people anointed to gifts. But he didn't leave them anointed to the giver. Where are they today? We say, Brother Bell, don't understand. Listen, don't you understand that tree out there is enjoyed by a sinner as well as a saint? Don't you know the sun shining and the rain coming down brings out delicious food for a Christian as well as the gourmet gutter snipe that's bloated with his champagne and his toxifying foods of the finest caviars and all those concentrated things that will kill him, ruin his liver quicker than the, you say Jack Robinson. Sure, same God did it all. Doesn't withhold his hand. Now, who's here? Same one, God's here. What's he doing? Anointing us to get us out of here. What's he doing with them? Anointing them. They're going to stay here. We say, how do you know? Because the prophet said so. A vindicated prophet said so. Well, you say, our vindicated prophet said this. I don't care what your vindicated prophet said. See, the voice that spoke to the man and said, when Brother Branham's meeting, when that man, that devil-possessed man fell across Brother Branham's feet, I told you that and then again. The man got up and he said, oh, he said, that voice said to me, that's the way it was done in the Bible. You can do it. When I saw Brother Branham vindicated, hundreds, not one that wasn't healed. So stupendous. The voice to me said, if you ever listen to a man, that's the man you listen to. No. You say, what voice did you hear? I can't prove anything. Why would somebody come by and prove the Pythagorean theorem when the Pythagorean theorem was already proved? Now, someone could practice it, but why prove it? Why would I try to prove? Why would God be so ridiculous as to try to prove in me what was proved in a prophet? The proving in the prophet was for me to adhere to and walk in believing. Then it's already been proven. Where then is my faith in God? I'm literally blaspheming. A man come along and say, well, you know, Brother Vail, I've had great things happen to me, you know. Well, I don't. Well, what? Like you got your nose caught in the grind or something? Sticking your nose in somebody else's business? Telling God how to run his affairs? Don't talk to me. Look, I've heard voices too. I've seen visions. Stupid old E. Vail up here had enough moxie or whatever it was to... Chutzpah, is that the word they use? To walk into the hospital, lay hands on a woman with cancer, stomach piled up like this. See, go flat under the doctor's nose. Walk into the hospital and say, that man's not going to die, he's going to live. He lived. 2 years later, say he's not going to live, he's going to die, and he died. Where'd it come from? Good question. I think the Lord helped me. In fact, I know he did, because you see, I could be false and still anointed. Right? I got no vindication. None at all. But I want you to know, brother, sister, don't go looking down the road for something to happen. It's already happening. The wheat are being separated from the tares. The chaff is getting ready for the burning. And we are getting ready to go away, and we are going to get out of here. Because he has risen amongst us with healing in his wings. And when you turn him down, there's only one thing left in judgment. It's not another God they're turning down. It is the same one that is here. Elohim is here. Sodom and Gomorrah is repeating. What do men want? Well, I want him. Hallelujah. I believe I got him. Well, here's the point, you know. I think it's kind of like Brother Branham's two kids when Becky said, I got all of Daddy, she said, well, you may have, but Daddy's got all of me. I don't know just which way to swing on that, but but I think that's good. Okay, let's rise at this time, shall we? Heavenly Father, we're grateful again to have been here in this place to talk about this great day that's upon us. We know that there have been signs in the heaven. There's been signs in the earth.
properly, truly vindicated by the prophet who said what those signs would be, those mighty angels appearing in a cloud, the picture taken. The very one, God yourself, you allowed your picture to be taken. We know that. That pillar of fire was indicating you were there. It's been taken by the camera. Natural eyes couldn't see it. You said men couldn't, but you didn't say a camera couldn't. So there you presented it to us. And Lord, that's just marvelous how you can just turn the wisdom of man into just foolishness. Just wipe him right out. Because he's proud, because he's arrogant. Turn right around and just say, I'll let a camera do it. My, how fantastic to know that there just wasn't one miss. To see that cloud of angels ringing, the great presence coming down to the prophet to bring forth the locked up word that's been loosed to us, released to us. See a photograph of that taken by scientists. Taken where they knew there couldn't be clouds because there wasn't any such thing, yet there was a cloud. What was it? There again, Lord, bringing man's smartness, his wisdom, into play that he could look at something and he could actually take a picture of it and bring it to us and we believe the truth about it. But the rest don't go for that one little minute. We thank you, Lord, that there isn't anything that hasn't been vindicated. It's a matter of all things are ready. All things are prepared. Just come on in. Even standing at the door, giving a self-invitation. Knowing that no man could come of himself, you came to us. And you made the way that the door could be opened. We could come together, be one together, sup together. And the people could talk together, being a body. Saying what the head said for the first time. Going where the head has gone. Being taken by the capstone himself. All these things, Lord, we know, and we rejoice in, and we know that we know. We are convinced, we are satisfied that this is the word of eternal life. Lord God in heaven, we just thank you now for this hour, half, whatever we've been together in the word. May the grace of Almighty God now go with us, rest and abide upon us, knowing that here we are, already well into the final destruction. And we have been saved from wrath to come. Lord, we praise you for that. We see ourselves like Daniel years ago when the handwriting was on the wall. The kingdom has fallen. It's already gone. And the king that took it over said, Daniel, I'm going to make you my head man. And here we are, the handwriting on the wall, every sign in, and the king himself saying, I'm going to take you up there and put you in the throne with me. I just don't see, Lord, where the bride has one thing to worry about. We should be, and we're just ashamed of ourselves. We are not haughty and proud, Lord. As we see your grace and know these things, we're just ashamed of ourselves, Lord. We're truly sorry. We're truly repentant. And we want to be more sincere than ever. When we realize who you are and what you're doing, the magnitude of your grace, if there's any one thing we want to cease from man, even ourselves, whose breath is in our nostrils, and just give over to God. Lord, how long until that sweet hour when the sweet Spirit moves in amongst us? And as a great...